Shall we pray? Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this afternoon that we can come into your house and gather in your name to worship you, to read your word, to study your word, and to have fellowship with one another. Lord, we pray that as we honor you this afternoon, that you will draw us closer to you, that you will speak to us through your word, that your living word will be alive to us, and that, Lord, you will undertake for each one of us in this hall, that you will have a special word for us all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Why do we sometimes have spiritual energy, spiritual highs, and at other times have spiritual lows, low energy? Why on certain days we seem to grow and thrive in God, and on other days, even for long periods of time, we seem to backslide and reverse? Why are we sometimes excited to follow God and sometimes can't care less? Because there is this tendency in our spiritual lives to lag behind and not be consistent with our spiritual lives. So today I want to talk about the secret for sustained spiritual growth, taken from John chapter 15, the whole of this chapter. John chapter 15 is at a very critical stage in the Gospel of John. Because in John 13, if you know anything about John, you will know that Jesus washed the disciples' feet, the only gospel that talks about that incident. And he is already in the last night before crucifixion when he does that. John 14, 15, 16 and 17 is a long discourse given by the Lord Jesus Christ. 14, 15, 16 is the discourse. 17 is the high priestly prayer where Jesus prays a long prayer for his disciples. John chapter 14 and 16 primarily talk about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, because Jesus is going away. He's saying, I'm going to leave behind for you the promise of the Holy Spirit, who will be another helper, another counselor that I will send you. John 15 is in the middle of these two, and he is talking about bearing fruit. He is going away, and what the disciples need to do when he is gone away. So the title I have is The Secret for Sustained Growth. I'm already giving you the secret. I'm going to talk about three things. The secret for sustained spiritual growth, that you will not be high one day and low another day and not to be seen the rest of the time, but you will be consistent. I will be consistent in my spiritual life. You will be consistent in your spiritual growth. Three things. Can we say these together? Number one is bear fruit. Number two, bear love. And number three, bear witness. And if you are a little bit engineering minded, or you really want a very good outline, this is the outline I'm going to work with this afternoon. The first point is to bear fruit. And in this section, we're going to cover verses 1 to 8. And I hope you read it with understanding, or trying to understand what you were reading. In this section on bearing fruit, now, consistent spiritual growth, sustained spiritual growth, you need to do three things. Firstly, you need to bear fruit. And as you bear fruit, God does something. What is God's role in this? Before I go there, we need to cover the first verse. Verse 1. Jesus said, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. In the Gospel of John, there are seven statements of I am statements. I am the door. I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection and life. I am the true vine is the last of these. I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. My Father, God the Father, is the gardener. Jesus is giving a metaphor. He's giving a picture of the disciples and subsequently us, and our connection to him and our connection together with him to God the Father. We are connected like branches into a vine, and the vine is Jesus himself. And God the Father is the one tending the garden, tending this tree, and superintending and supervising everything that is taking place. Bearing fruit is a natural process of any tree. If you go to a car factory, at the end of the line, they produce a car. If you go to a bakery, at the end of the line, they produce bread. If you look at a Christian, what is the end product? Is your character, is my character, is my Christ-like character. That's what we are working at. So as we try to bear fruit, what is God's role? Firstly, now we are in that right place. God lifts you up. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. The word takes away is a possibly not a very great translation in the ESV. I like the English Standard Version. I use it for study. I use it for preaching. But there are once in a way one or two words that probably could be translated in a different way. If you are looking at the New Living Translation, it will say, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he, that is the vine dresser, God, the gardener, lifts up. And that is a very good translation, because in the original Greek, the word is airo. Everywhere that airo is mentioned in the Greek, it is to lift up. You know, the vines are not very tall trees. They are creepers. They are vines running around. There is a mesh that is created, and they would run on that. And sometimes the leaves, the branches would fall out and fall on the ground. And when it's fallen on the ground, it rains, there's mud, and the leaves are on the ground, or the ends of the branches on the ground are now covered with soil and stuff like that, and they will not bear fruit. And the gardener, very lovingly, carefully, will lift up the vine branches that are on the ground and put it back on track so that they can bear fruit. Firstly, what he does, God's role, is he lifts you up. Maybe today you need a lift up. As we think of sustained spiritual growth, maybe we are down, like the branch of the vine. Maybe today God is lifting you up gently from where you are. And he does this all the time. God doesn't come in and forcefully do things. He gently cares for us. And today maybe he's gently doing a miraculous surgery in your life, taking you from where you have fallen, or taking you from where you are hurt, taking you from where you have got frustrated or discouraged, and telling you, I'm putting you back on track. Now you can grow once again. Secondly, God lets you grow. Can you see the next part? And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Now, if you are spiritually growing, God would come and make you grow more, like the gardener does for the vine. The vine is good. Every branch that bears fruit, that's what the branch should do, bears fruit. He prunes so that it can bear more fruit. Now, there is a teaching that this pruning process is painful. And perhaps that's true, that God lets us go through difficult moments, painful moments, so that he can make us bear more fruit. I hold on to a slightly different view. Maybe that is true, but that is normal. As normal for a tree, you prune the tree so that it will grow more. Now, just outside our pantry window, that we had a lot of trees growing very tall. Of course, there's a car park, but around the car park, there were very tall trees. We are on the fourth level, and the trees were, I think, reaching seventh story. But this last week, the authorities came and pruned the trees up to about the top of level 3. So when we look out our kitchen window, pantry window, there are no more trees. Of course, there are. You have to look down. It is still there, but it's pruned. I don't think they're hurting the tree by pruning. They are making it grow better and more leafy, wider, maybe cover a wider stretch so that there is shade in our car park. Maybe that's the idea. So that's why I'm saying Every time a tree is pruned, it's not to give pain for the tree, but to make the tree become a better tree, fulfill its purpose. So if you are growing spiritually, second thing God does is God will enable you to grow better. He will let you grow. He will show you ways, show you areas where you can grow and grow more. Thirdly, I think another thing God does is God lets you decide. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, and I'll come to this word abide later on, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. God doesn't force. He is not forcing you to make you grow. He is allowing you to make a decision to grow. And if you are not down and he is picking you up, if you are not growing and he is making you grow more, maybe you're in this other category. You have to make a decision. You have to make a decision today. You are not connected the intentional way that Jesus wants you to connect to the tree. Maybe you're on your own. You're just doing whatever comes your way. And today God wants you to take a decision. So that's God's role. Let's look at our role, your role. Firstly, abound in the word of God. Verse 3 says, already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Now, if you read this passage, if you have it in your phone or in your Bible in front of you, if you read this passage, verse 1, verse 2, verse 3 kind of is out of place. Verse 1 says, I'm the true wine. God is the wine dresser. Verse 2 says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. And then verse 3 suddenly says, already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. I think Jesus is saying, telling the disciples, you are not like the ones on the ground that I have had to lift up and clean up. You're already clean. You're like the second group, the ones who are growing, and you'll be pruned so you will grow more. And he says, you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. So he's, in other words, telling the disciples, abound in the word of God, grow in the word of God. Consistent spiritual growth, sustained spiritual growth comes to people who are connected to God's word, who are growing in God's word. When I was in seminary, we went to seminary in the Philippines. It was a wonderful time that we had as a family. And in the early 2000s, we were there for about 5 years. And I had a friend, one of the students. His name is Senny. And Senny is from Tonga. He's a huge guy, like almost with a rugby player stature. And one day he's walking on the corridor, reading the Bible and memorizing. So I asked him, what are you doing? Just walking around, you know, walking up and down the corridor. And he said, I'm memorizing a passage in 1 John. And so I asked him, why 1 John? He said, I'm trying to memorize the 1 John, the whole of 1 John, 5 chapters. I said, wow, that's very good. And he said, I'm memorizing it in the Greek. Recently, I was listening to Dr. Erwin Lutzer, Pastor Erwin Lutzer. And if you are looking for a good preacher to listen to, I recommend him. Go to YouTube, type Erwin Lutzer. He was the president of Moody Bible Institute in Chicago. I don't think he's in that position anymore. But he was saying that when he was younger, he memorized the entire book of Hebrews. That's even longer. You know, why I'm giving these two examples is the word of God must be in us. God's word in us makes us stronger. We are cleaner. We are made holy because of God's word in us. And that enables us to grow spiritually. So our role, firstly, is to have his word, abound in his word. Secondly, to abide reciprocally in Jesus. Not just abide in Jesus. Have you heard of this statement, abide in Jesus? Means remain in Jesus, like a branch abides in the wine, remain. But Jesus doesn't tell only our part. See the Bible verse, abide in me and I in you, there is a connection. It's reciprocal. I abide in Jesus. He lives in me. He remains in me. He never lets me go. I'll come to this never let me go in a little while's time. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. So spiritual growth won't come if we try to do it on our own without having that connection and Jesus being connected to us. I am the vine, you are the branches. Verse 5, whoever abides in me, and again, I in him, he is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. He who abides in me is in the present tense. And in the Greek present tense, it's different from our present tense. The Greek present tense is continuous. We have a present continuous tense, isn't it? The Greek doesn't have a continuous tense and a normal tense for the present. If it's present, it's continuous. So that means Jesus, when he says that he abides in us, he's continuously abiding in us. So my question to us is, are we reciprocating that? Are we continuously abiding in Jesus? And the last part says, for apart from me, you can do nothing. There are no self-made Christians in this world. You can have self-made everything else, but no self-made Christians. Because apart from Jesus, you and I can do nothing. And the third one in this, our role, is to abandon your own pursuits. Abound in God's word, abide in him reciprocally, and abandon your own pursuits. If anyone does not, shall we read this verse? This is an important part to understand. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. Now, this is a metaphor. It is told not as something that must happen, but something that will happen if allowed to happen. So if anyone does not abide in me, which means if anyone does not continually be connected to Christ, that means Christ is connected to you, but you have gone on a tangent. You have left him. You don't care for Jesus. You're a believer, you're connected, but now you're kind of disconnected at any point. You are like a branch that is thrown and burned. You cannot build a doctrine here saying if you are disconnected, you get burned. I mean, you lose your salvation, you're lost, you're dead forever. Some people do, but I think that's not a very good method of Bible interpretation. What Jesus is trying to say is that if you are disconnected, you are left to your own devices. You are pursuing your own thing. And you will not have spiritual growth, sustained spiritual growth that way. Are we okay? So, that's our role. And that's a reward. Let's look at the reward part now. Firstly, you will go deep in the Word of God. I have already talked about that. You will be Word-based. How many minutes per day do you spend on reading, meditating, studying, embracing, receiving God's Word? I am telling you, the same level of time invested in God's word will be exponentially given back to you in spiritual growth. Some of us actually are very good at fast forwarding. You know fast forwarding? We are all freight forwarders. No, there's a trade like that, freight forwarding. You know. Container come, container go. We are transshipment people when it comes to Bible verses. You know what I'm talking about? We are in the transshipment business in Bible verses. Container come, container go. Bible verse comes in our WhatsApp. Bible verse go to 100 people. Don't we do that? Some nice Bible verse with a beautiful picture. We read, we send. I am telling you, I have stopped doing that. Okay, I'm telling you that if you want to do that, it's okay. Please do that, because somebody will be blessed. It's God's word, not our word. God's word, nicely packaged, it'll work. But I am telling you, before you send it to somebody else, abide in it, receive it, study it, if possible, memorize it. And then if you want to, as God leads you, to send to one or two people, 10 people, 100 people, you can send it out. But the point I'm trying to make is that the investment you make in God's word, the time that you spent in imbibing, receiving God's word, is, I think, very, very closely connected in the depth of our spiritual lives. And if you feel that you are always, you know, meandering away, moving away from God, maybe the problem is you are not spending time in God's word enough. So you will go deep in the word of God. That's a reward that we have. Another reward is you will grow strong in your prayer life. Can you see verse 7? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Your prayer life will be improved. You will suddenly see, oh, my prayers are getting answered. Have you noticed that when you are far away from God, or when you have these spiritual down moments, you go away, walk away, don't pray, don't read the Bible, don't go for fellowship, don't come to church, don't think of God, stay away from God, your prayers are not getting answered. But the moment you shout, cry out to the Lord, oh Lord, help me, you connect with God once again, and then you suddenly realize, oh, my prayers are getting answered once again. Why? Because of that connection, the reward we have in spiritually growing, in being connected with God, is your prayers will become stronger and the answers will come. You know, sometimes we think that a prayer must be answered in the affirmative, in the positive, in the prayer has to be a yes from God for us to grow spiritually. You see, many people grow spiritually when the prayer answer is no, but they are in the right place to receive the no. When you are in the wrong place and a no answer comes from God, you will be so mad with God, you'll go far further away. But you are in the right place and God says, son, daughter, it's a no, you will accept it because you know I am in the right place and whatever happens is God's will for my life. And so if you're connected, if you're abiding, your prayers are getting answered, and even if it is not an affirmative answer, your prayers are getting answered. You follow me? Do we say amen in this church? Amen. Okay. Third one, reward is you will give evidence of your discipleship. Verse 8, by connection, by growth, by prayers being answered, my Father is glorified. That's what we are living for. Your life, my life, we are living to glorify God. We have no other main purpose. I am sure you have minor purposes, you know, look after the children, send them to school, send them to university, buy a car, buy a house, become rich, you know, have enough to retire, travel the world, you know, look after grandchildren, whatever it is. You have so many priorities, but those are secondary ones. The biggest one a Christian, a believer in Christ has, is my life must glorify God. And you glorify God when you bear much fruit and you prove to be his disciple. This word proof is evidence. You give evidence from your life that you are a disciple. Long years ago, there was this statement, if you're convicted for being a Christian, will there be enough evidence to convict you? If you're charged for being a Christian, will there be enough evidence to convict you? The evidence of our connection is we are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the first one. What are we talking about? Bear fruit. There is a reward. There is a role. There's a reward. The second one is bear love. Now, grow in love would have been nicer, but I needed a B word. Because all my 3 points are B, so bear love. I ran a check in Google, bear love, does it make sense? Yeah, they said it makes sense. Okay, there are some commands to keep and some blessings to have.
abide, one command, abide in the love of Jesus. First he said, abide in me. Jesus said, abide in me to the disciples. Now he says, abide in my love. That sounds like a different one. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. The Lord Jesus Christ does not need us to love him. Did you know that? He does not need us to love him. His love is not filled. He is not fulfilled because we loved him. And the day you stop loving him, oh, he lacks love. No, no, no. Within the Holy Trinity, there is love to one another. He says, as the Father has loved me, I have loved the Father, Father has loved me. There is a love relationship within the Holy Trinity. But out of the fullness of that love relationship that Jesus himself has within the Holy Trinity, he tells us, I have loved you. And so abide in my love. Abide again, remain in my love. So firstly, abide in the love of Jesus. We abide in the love of so many other things in the world, don't we? Of course, we abide in the love of one another. I'm coming to that. That's in the text. But we are loved by so many things. And the moment those things or those people stop loving us, paying attention to us, our whole world crumbles. We are affirmed by unnecessary things in this world. Social media is one great thing. You post something, you wait to see how many likes. I have done this test. On my birthday, everybody who doesn't even know me will wish me on Facebook, no? I'm the Facebook age. Some of you guys don't even know what Facebook is probably. But 1 year, 260 people wished me for my birthday, and I thought, wow, that must be a record of some sort for me, not for you. And the next year, actually, less people wished me for my birthday. See, I'm becoming less popular as I'm growing older. So we want to be affirmed. We want love from the world. If somebody doesn't look at us, we get angry sometimes. We go for family events, and then somebody disses us, you know, puts us aside. Oh, we come with a very long face. Why? Because we are affirmed and we feel that that's the most important thing. That is the second most important thing, probably. The most important thing is abiding in the love of Jesus, which never changes. He loves us with an everlasting love. Amen. If you don't know to say amen, maybe you can learn to say amen, no? Okay, the second one. Obey the command to love Jesus. Jesus said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Love one another is not reciprocal with other people. Did you see that? Read the verse. This is my commandment. These are the commandments we have to follow. Love Jesus, abide in his love. Second one, love one another, not because they are loving me back, but because Jesus is loving me. Because I have loved you. Isn't that wonderful? We don't love people because of the capacity they have to return that love for me. But we love people because of the capacity that Jesus has to love me. So the unlovable becomes lovable. For the people who are close to us are the ones that we hurt the most. And the people who are close to us, when they don't love us back, we will be very, very hurt. But Jesus tells us that we can still love them, because the blessing of loving them is not only their love back to me, or the lack of it. The blessing is Jesus loves me. Can you see that? Isn't it wonderful? And then that's an encouragement, isn't it? Motivation to love people. That is an encouragement and motivation to love others. You see, Mother Teresa was asked, if the person whom you are tending to, the leper that you're tending to, dies in your arms, what will you do? She said, I will place him gently on the ground and move to the next leper. They can't give back anything to her, But she has love because God loved her, and she is giving out of that love. So the ability to love one another like Jesus loved us is a command we can keep. Now, blessings to cherish. Commands to keep, love Jesus, obey, and love one another. What about the blessings that we have as we grow spiritually in this bearing love area? Firstly, you receive joy in full measure. Shall we read this? These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Full, your joy will be full, is something like you have a container or there's a hole. You fill it to the brim. You fill it totally. So Jesus says, I have told all these things about abiding and about loving so that your joy will be full, so that the lack that you have in your life in the area of joy will become full. Each of us have different measurements of lack of joy. Some of us are very joyful, and a little bit more joy will be fully joyful. Some of us may be so depressed and so down that we need tons and tons of joy. And Jesus says, that's what I am doing in your life. Most of the great theologians and writers and preachers of yesteryear, I was watching some videos the other day about Charles Spurgeon and Isaac Watts. Charles Spurgeon was called the Prince of Preachers coming out of England. Isaac Watts was a hymn writer who lived most of his adult life probably in depression. And Isaac Watts, the one who wrote When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, and hymns, beautiful hymns like that. But very down in life. But how did they survive? I am sure they discovered this, that when they are abiding in Christ, regardless of what emotional pain you go through, the Lord will fill your measure of joy. You will have joy in full measure according to what you need. Will you have no problems? No, there will be problems. The Bible is full of that teaching. But joy in spite of the pain. Joy while you may have the pain. Secondly, you remain a friend of Jesus. So receive joy in full measure. Remain a friend of Jesus. Jesus said, greater love is no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You are my friends, not my servants. Another blessing to cherish as we love Jesus, as we try to love one another because Jesus has loved us, is now Jesus is calling us his friends. I called you, he says, friends. I called you friends. The word called you is I declare you my friend. You are still the servant, that's a slave. You are still the one who forgot to pray yesterday. You are still the one who hate your brother or your wife or your husband or your children. You are still the one who's struggling in this area of your life. But I have declared that you are my friend. Regardless of the struggle you have gone through, I'm helping you to grow spiritually. I know you are falling. The Lord Jesus knows what's happening, but he still calls you, declares you his friend. You remain as a friend of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people have no friends, very few friends. And we make more enemies than friends sometimes. And this is a very good Bible verse for us to remember that even if everybody leaves us, we have one friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. The person who wrote What a Friend We Have in Jesus, I forget his name just now. It's a little bit of a brain freeze. He was a British man, went to Canada, lived there. Why he went there is he was betrothed to be married. The girl died a day before his wedding, so he moved to Canada. While there, he was some sort of teacher. He very altruistic life, helped people, found another young lady proposed marriage. Before marriage, she died. And then after a while, I don't think he wanted to marry anymore. But after a while, he got a letter from his mom. Now, this is not today's age, about 150 years ago. It was difficult to do the cross-Atlantic voyage. And he did not have money also to travel at that time. But he got this letter that in snail mail, which said, "Mom is very ill. She's in her last stages of life." Now, when it's snail mail, you don't know whether the mom has already died also. And when you reply that message, that letter, you don't know whether it'll reach her. He wrote a poem for his mom. And in his poem, he wrote the words of "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." I'm sure you know the words of "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." And what he's telling his mother and also reminding himself is that even if everybody, friends despise, everybody goes away, we have somebody there. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we bear love, so we bear fruit, as we bear love, let's remember that the reward of having Jesus as our friend is such a great blessing, such a great inspiration for us to stay close to that best friend who never leaves us. And you will see that you're growing spiritually consistently because you're growing in that relationship with Jesus. And finally, bear witness. Characteristics of what those who do not bear witness and characteristics of what those who bear witness. Those who don't bear witness hate Jesus and they hate his followers. We see that from verses 18 to 19. The world has hated me before, Jesus said. Now the world is hating you. Jesus said, "I chose you out of this world, therefore the world hates you." Now this is preparing the disciples to what would happen after Jesus dies and resurrects and is ascended. This is he's preparing the disciples. Then those who do not bear witness do not know God the Father. So that's why they are hating. And those who do not bear witness are guilty of sin. Jesus has clearly preached about it in this passage. The ministry of Jesus has also pointed out their sin. Their hatred to Jesus has even been previously written in God's word. And now Jesus talks about those who bear witness. What are their characteristics? Those who bear witness have a clear relationship with Jesus. If you have a clear relationship with Jesus, you will know that you can grow spiritually. Let's read this Bible verse. "If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." You are not of the world. You live in the world, but you're not of the world. There is no Bible verse that says you are not of the, you live in the world, but are not of the world. You know, the fast-forward Bible verses sometimes comes, that's very wrong, because there is no one single verse that says that. You have to merge two verses to get that nice statement. You're in the world, but not of the world. But here, Jesus says, you are not of the world. You don't belong to the world. Why? Because you belong to me. I chose you out of the world. You have a clear relationship with Christ. If you have a clear relationship with Christ today, you can know that you can have a sustained spiritual relationship, spiritual growth throughout your life. So how is your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Secondly, those who bear witness do it under difficult circumstances. So if I read 18 to 25, these are things that comes out. You will be hated, you will be persecuted, you will be misunderstood. For being a Christian, have you faced this kind of situation? People misunderstand you sometimes. People hate you. People shout at you. People put you down. Why? Because you belong to Jesus and the love that you have for the Lord Jesus Christ comes first. And then people most often misunderstands that. Would say, "Oh, why? Why are you doing this? Why are you living this kind of life? Come and enjoy with us. You know, do this small. This is nothing. This is not a sin." But you say, "No, I cannot do that." Then you have to stay apart from them. And that creates a rift sometimes. And you do it, you still stay close to the Lord Jesus Christ, even under difficult circumstances. That's a quality of a person who's growing spiritually. You know it is difficult, but you're still committed to doing that. How many of you made New Year resolutions? Don't raise hands. New Year resolutions on the 1st of January, and by today, they're not being kept. Why? Because it is difficult. And when it is difficult, we just let it go. When we let it go, we are not consistent. And that's the reason why sometimes we are not spiritually growing. And finally, those who bear witness will follow the example and leading of the Holy Spirit. But when the Helper comes, Jesus said, that is the Holy Spirit, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. When the Holy Spirit comes, and he did come on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit will bear witness about the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will also bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. The disciples will also start bearing witness about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in church history, the last century, the 20th century, is called the century of the Holy Spirit. Because the Pentecostal movement began and flourished, people started being more aware of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But if the Holy Spirit had a chance to name that century, the Holy Spirit will not name that century the century of the Holy Spirit. Because the nature of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the personality of the Holy Spirit, is he gives glory to Jesus. Can you see that? He comes to bear witness to Jesus. So when we want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and grow spiritually, we can be like the Holy Spirit. We can come under the leading of the Holy Spirit. And what are we going to do? We learn from the Holy Spirit to raise the name of Jesus high in every situation that we go through. In everything that we decide to do, our joy and our effort is to bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. I have preached nearly 45 minutes now. And if you have forgotten everything, let me give you an assignment to do. And I'm sure you have forgotten most of it. I had to follow notes, otherwise I'll forget also. This is the assignment. For the next 7 days, we want to ask ourselves, am I consistently growing spiritually? Three things to do. One, go deep in God's word, bear fruit. Go deep in God's word, bear fruit. Secondly, love Jesus, put him first, nobody else. For 7 days only, not too long, manageable. If seven is too long, do for 3 days and then repeat. But love Jesus more than anybody else. He is the first person that we want to love. And then put your other priority relationships in the second place and try to put love into those relationships that you receive from the Lord. You see, if God is putting love in your heart, his love in your heart, then from that love you can give to people around you. But if you just give your love out, at one point you're going to run out of what you have. But if there is this opening of love from God, and you're connected with God all the time, with Jesus all the time, and he's showing you his love, and you're committed, he is first, nobody else. This needs some commitment level. Only Jesus for 7 days. And then from that, you show your love to those around you. And lastly, talk about Jesus to others. Bear witness for 7 days. Use every opportunity to say something about Jesus to everybody whom you meet. Now, you know, some colleagues in the workplace know that we are Christian and don't want to talk with us too much. It doesn't matter. It is called name dropping. Everybody say, name dropping. We are going to name drop. Whose name? Jesus. Just an exercise for 7 days. And I tell you, at the end of these 7 days, from John chapter 15, we will know that we have put in place a system where we can grow spiritually, consistently grow spiritually. So again, repeat. First one, bear fruit. How do we bear fruit? Go deep in the word. Go deep in the word. Study the word. Fast forward the word. You know, do whatever it takes to go deep in the word. Read the word. Set up a time. Put an alarm for 7 days. Not for the whole year. 7 days. Then love Jesus because bear love. Love Jesus. Put him first. Nobody else but Jesus. And thirdly, talk about Jesus. Name drop. Use any situation. I went to church on Saturday. No, you know, because I'm following Jesus. It's a very frivolous way of saying it, or a silly way of saying it. But find a method to bring Jesus into your conversations. Find a method. Now, if you are totally forbidden to do that, you are a school teacher and they forbid you to tell publicly in Singapore, you cannot do that, publicly share Christ in the school, please don't break the law. I am not telling you to break the law. I'm going to tell you to name drop and be one of those, you know, people like a spy, you know, you infiltrate the situation and put in a word. Can we do that? Are you excited? Next Sunday, you can come and share your stories with one another. Let's pray. May I invite you to stand, please? Let's close our eyes and bow our heads in prayer. Let's commit this year to grow spiritually, consistently grow spiritually. Let's commit to do it for 7 days. And let's see how we can continue after that. But for these 7 days, Sunday to Saturday, we are going to go deep in the word, put Jesus first, and talk about him, name drop him as much as possible everywhere we go. Lord, our Heavenly Father, I pray that you will enable us to turn our eyes to you, and to receive your blessing for this Christian walk that you have called us to make. Sometimes it is difficult. Sometimes we forget. Sometimes the cares and problems of the world are too much that we are easily derailed. Lord, I pray that you will give each one of us the ability, the strength to look to you at all times, to grow in you at all times, and to have this consistent spiritual growth, not be hot one day and cold for a few days, but to consistently grow, incrementally grow, little by little, to be more Christ-like every passing day. And we pray, Lord, that through all this we'll give you glory, that our depth of our character will grow, and that, Lord, our prayers will be answered, that we will know we are in the right place, right time, serving you and having the joy of the Lord in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray and ask all this. Amen. Amen. God bless you all.